This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fay. How are you?
Well, I think it's going to be a beautiful Saturday. What's your opinion?
Well, the groundhog came out of the hole the other day. What was it, yesterday?
Yesterday, he came out.
Yeah, and they say apparently it means six more weeks of winter. However, from what it looks like today, I think it's garbage because summer is starting today.
Wow. I love the way you think.
Yeah.
Summer is starting today?
Yeah.
It's
going to be like near 80.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of strange and wonderful things, did you see the red blue moon the other night?
Ooh, yes, I did. I watched it. I got up at like 3:15 in the morning, and I watched it, and I said, my goodness, that looks like every other moon. I see no difference. And then I went out like 3 hours later, and then it was starting to change color. And I thought, now that is spectacular.
Yes. Everybody at my house, we were up before 7 to see that.
Woo!
Yes, it was magnificent. It only happens how many years?
I think it's once every 100,000 years.
Okay, so all of us that got up and saw it, we will be able to tell people about it forever.
Yes, because they'll never see it.
And my grandchildren saw it. They were impressed to death.
Yes. And then it crossed my mind that I wonder if people, before we had like meteorologists and weather people who study these things, if like a caveman looked up and saw the moon turning orange, I wonder if they thought it was all doom and gloom and the end of the earth. Who knows what they thought?
I don't know what they thought. I guarantee it scared them.
Yeah.
You know, people way, way back, can you imagine when they saw that?
Yeah.
They ran for cover, I feel sure.
Sure.
And yeah. They just didn't know what. But, they put it in the books years ago. But I don't know if they put it in what they thought they saw or, you know, what their imagination allowed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I don't know. They might have thought that the moon was on fire.
How about that?
Yeah, that would have been scary.
That would have been real scary. There's so many scary things in the world anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's a wonderful day. I think that I'll go with your deal, your interpretation. Summer's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's just give out the phone number just in case.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm not a weatherman, and somebody will hold me accountable for that. Let's go.
That's right. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You can always go to AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and that's where you can find real hardcore data. These are real numbers of the money that people have been making. You can see testimonials about how the whole investment process works. And that's what it's all about. It's all about investing in your own future, because when it comes down to it, nobody's going to do this for you. You have to plan for retirement. You have to take those steps and do it. It's not just going to be magic.
Nothing is magic in this world that I know of. Everybody is responsible for their own retirement.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Everybody expects somebody to do it for them.
Right.
It's not going to happen. You have to take the bull by the horns. You have to say, I need to go talk to Faye. Let's see if this will work.
Yeah.
And you have to be accredited. And when you're listening every week, you've got to tune in and say, what did Faye say about accreditation?
Yes.
She said you have to either make $200,000 or you have to have a net worth of $1 million without your home.
Yeah.
And if you can manage those two things, we can do business.
Exactly.
And we can help you get your 401k or your IRA on the straight and narrow. And like a lot of people, they just, they fumble around for 30 years. And they just, they're not organized. They don't know what they have. They don't know what assets they have. And they know that they get paid. And then when they're figuring what they're worth, they leave the 401k out. Mm-hmm. That is usually your biggest asset other than a ranch or a business of some type.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to have to rely on to get you retired and to get your income.
Yeah.
And you're going to need income after you retire. You can't just retire and say, all right, I've got this lump sum of money. Well, that lump sum of money will be taken down year by year if you don't have other money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to plan your future where that you'll have income every year that's not your principal, that's interest-earned income.
Yeah, people have to take that step. And I think so many people, like we talk about all the time, they procrastinate, they just put it off. I mean, this is not called Magic Money with Faye Bagby. It's called Your
no,
Money.
No, it's not.
Because you have to get involved, and the planning has to start. And I know a lot of people procrastinate all the time, and there's different reasons for it. Maybe that they're afraid, oh my gosh, I've waited too long to start planning and investing and saving and they just put off hoping because if some people think if they don't have to hear it, then it's not true. But it is true. You've got to get involved.
True. And you know, there's so much controversy right now on the stock market. And, you know, I'm watching it very, very close. But what amazes me is they say, well, you know, this thing is going to crash. Well, it's very, very high. So I hope that people take defensive action, defensive posture, take that profit and get it aside.
Yeah.
If you want to risk your most of your 401k, that's okay. Yeah. But for me and my groups, what we're doing is we're not in the stock market, okay? And so the money is locked up, as I say. You know, it's in their IRA with us that became from a 401k to an IRA. So, you know, we know where their money is. We know how it's going to mature. We know what their interest is going to be. And I personally would not take the risk. I would say, gosh, I've made some good money. Let's set that aside where we can't lose any of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you can afford to lose, leave it in the stock market.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you may never lose a dime.
It would be
a shame.
It may be
safe forever.
Exactly. It may be fine. But then on the other hand, you know, it would be a terrible thing to happen if somebody has been in the stock market, you know, say after the 2008, 2009 ordeal, people, you know, were in it and they were trying to regrow what they had lost and regain those profits again. And it would be a shame to get to this point where things are back and then all of a sudden have the carpet ripped out again and then boom, you lose everything, especially if you're within a few years of retirement. Because then you have to start over.
And that's the scary part to me. If you're 60 years old and you take that risk, that's crazy. Now, people come to us every day and say, look, I'm fixing to retire in 2 years. I want to move this money now. Or I'm going to retire next week. I want to remove it. It doesn't matter how you're going to do it. It's when you retire, what are you going to have?
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got $300,000, $400,000, that's not going to last long. So you need income coming with that. You've got to have interest income. That's what everybody needs. I don't care who you are. I don't know of anybody that can do without interest, you know, unless you've got $4 or $5 million in the bank. And then, you know, if they're just paying you a small amount, it's okay. Now, if you've got $5 million, you can afford to risk it, you know, because if you lose some of it, you know, you'll make it back. It's going to take 5 or 6, 7 years. You know, and you won't have as much to live on.
Mm-hmm.
But a smart man says, you know, we need to be diversified.
Right.
And we diversify everything we do. We never let you put all your money in one policy. Now, I've got people that have different opinions. I have one family that says we want 12-month policies now. That's crazy. Let me tell you something. A 12-month policy is going to pay you 12-14%, right? And it may come due in 6 months, 8, you know, it'll probably come in early. But let's say you have some 24 to 28 month policies. When they come in and you make 24% in 12 months, Don't you think that's a lot more?
So having that longer term, it really spreads things out. Whereas if you're getting like a 12-month policy, you're cutting it kind of close. You're not leaving a whole lot of wiggle room there for things to come in early. Even if they come in early, it's not by much. You have a much greater spread of making larger profits in shorter amount of time by going for those 24 months. Is that right?
That's my opinion, because if you've got a 24% profit and it comes in not in 24 months, but it comes in early in 12 months, we can redo it again the same year.
Yeah.
So you're going to make more that way. But I encourage everybody, go to the website. Look what people made this year. You know, look at the profit. And if that's not good enough for you, man, I don't know what is. Because it's not like a CD. You know, they're paying, I guess maybe they're up to 2% now. A stock market, yes. You have great rewards, but you have great risk. So if you do it this way, you don't have as many risks, and you still got the rewards.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes more sense to me. I know that this year everybody made very good money. We had, you know, the most policies that everybody was in was 8. We had some that were in 5. So they've got that interest income built in. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And yes, everybody should not be in one policy. Yes, they should be diversified. And but they shouldn't put it off till they've got a small amount of money in their 401k or their IRA where they're not going to have enough interest to live.
Now, let me ask you a quick question. I know this past week you mentioned the stock market a little bit. What happened this past week? Because I know stocks went down a little bit. And I've heard that it was because some people were getting a little bit nervous, and I correct me if I'm wrong, it was because of mortgage rates are going up, and so that was making people a little bit nervous. What is this, like an early sign of something that may be happening?
Well, you know, we never know, because remember, we're a worldwide conglomerate. The United States is invested in stocks from here to China, as you know. So things that happen around the world affect it very, very much. And then things at home, politics affects it, everything does. And when people get nervous, you know, a lot of them take their money out, which I don't think right now is a bad idea, because they made the profit, take your dadgum profit.
Now,
if you've got a 401k with a large company, lots of times you can't. They make the directive, they tell you what you've got to be in, and you don't have a choice, you have to stay with them. But if your money is vested, if you've been there 10 to 15 years or whatever their vesting policy is, you can take money out and put it with us where you know exactly where it's going to be and how much you're going to make. To me, it's important to know what is my return going to be? How many years do I have to wait before I can retire? Can I retire next week? Or is it 2 years or 4 years? And what will be my income once I retire?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to take a lot. If you're going to live 20 years, you don't have enough, probably.
And that's one of the beautiful things about investing in a life insurance policy, is that no matter what happens on the stock market, no matter what happens with mortgage rates, no matter what happens globally as far as current events and anything that can shake up Wall Street, none of that has any bearing on a person's investment in a life insurance policy. It is set. It is what it is. And those types of things don't change your return or your profit.
No, because whatever you, when you go into a policy, whatever you go in at, if it says it's 18% profit, whatever, that's what you're going to get. A life insurance company does not change what you're going to pay. They're not going to come in and say, well, we'd like to pay you less. That doesn't happen that way. So whatever you've got coming, you will get. Now, we don't always know when. Sometimes it can go over. It might go a year over. It might go 6 months over. But you're still going to get the same amount of money, just in a longer time. And then, lots of times, it comes in early. So you get a lot more money than what you were planning at that point in time. In other words, you may get that 24% in 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had some this week that came in, and all of them early. And I know one was 18% and one was 21%.
And you still,
so those people have been notified that money is in their bank this week.
The investor still gets the full profit even if the policy comes in early.
That's right. He just gets it sooner where we can turn around and reinvest it again. And when we're talking about their income for life, once they retire, and a lot of people will retire probably this year, we set it up. We say, okay, how much cash do you need in the bank at all times? Sometimes it's $60,000, sometimes it's $100,000. And I've got some people it's $200,000. And we don't let it get below that. So they have money at all times to fund their lifestyle. They may want to travel for 3 years. They may want to visit every state. They may go to Europe. We don't know. But as long as they've got the interest income coming in, they can live pretty good. You know, let's say they only have that $300,000. If we're building up the interest will take care of them. But if they only had that lump sum and no interest coming in, 6 to 8 years, they're gone. Mm-hmm. You know. So we don't want that to happen to anybody. We want them to come, talk to us, see if we can help. If we can, we want to. But the people who procrastinate, they're losing out. If you're procrastinating all the time, you're not doing anything. All you're doing, you're like the old maid. You're just talking about it.
Yeah. I think that's one thing we should get into here for just a bit. It's not just about planning for retirement date and then you just cut off the investment. That's not a good idea, because somebody retires, that paycheck stops coming in. You're no longer getting income from an employer. You don't want to just drain the account dry and then when you're done, you're done. That's not a very wise thing. You want to replenish what you're using. And so this type of investment can still go on. So, and in fact, a lot of people do this. They use this to save up for retirement. Once they hit the retirement date, they're still growing their money.
That's right. If you're not growing your money, you're backing up. A wise man wants to be sure his family's taken care of, that he has interest income until the day they die. And as long as they've got that interest coming in, they're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to have enough interest to satisfy what your lifestyle is. So, you know, we have to talk about that. We have to work on it. It's not something you just put it in the drawer. They forgot about it years ago. They've got the 401k, and they're not paying attention.
No.
And if people aren't paying attention, if they've got, let's talk about somebody who's just CDs. I know there's a lot of people in Midland, Odessa, Monahan, everywhere, that's just CDs. How is that going to make you enough money doing good? You've got to have something else going. You've got to have either cattle, a ranch. You've got to have something where you can sell cattle all the time to live on if you've got CDs. If you've got CDs, you're not going to make any money.
Let me ask you this, and I don't want to scare anybody, but this is something I
think. You already scared me.
You're supposed to be comforting people. You're not the one that gets scared.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. This is something to think about anyway. So say somebody is growing their money, and they're within a few months of retirement. They get to retirement, and they go ahead and retire. They've got plenty of money set aside. They're still growing their money in the stock market, but they're no longer getting their paycheck from their employer. So their only source to replenish is coming from Wall Street. What would happen? How devastating would it be to somebody who is continuing growing money without that safety net of a paycheck in Wall Street and something was to happen like 2008 or 9?
Well, they would certainly have to cut back on their living, entertainment, their what they're spending per month. Because if they had a nice portfolio, let's say they had $500,000, and that sucker craters again, and they lose 40%, they're not going to have any income. If they're relying just on the stock market, because they're going to have to sell the stock, remaining stock, probably to live on. That could happen.
So at that point, would somebody potentially have to go back to work?
I would imagine they might. And look at it this way. What if they're 67 years old? Can they go back to work? Will somebody hire them? I have one guy that was laid off in 14. He has never recovered. and he's got part-time work, and then he had a stroke. So you have to say, if something happened to my health, what in the heck would you do?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know that you have income to cover you and your wife for years to come. You've got to know that you've got steady income. Because if your health deteriorates after you retire, you couldn't go back to work if you had to.
Yeah.
So,
and then you got bigger problems.
Then you have bigger problems. And if you got a dread disease, we would hope that would never happen to you. But, you know, that's what we do. We buy life insurance policies on people with cancer. And those families are devastated. Those families do not have enough income to see them through it. So they sell us their policies because of that one fact right there, is they're not going to have enough to live on. And but they do have a nice policy, so they're going to get that sold as quick as possible to pay for the medical care.
Mm-hmm.
So if they've got a $1 million policy, yes, we buy those every day. A $250,000 policy, $150,000, because that's what they have to generate some money.
So they sell the policy, they get their lump sum right off the bat. They can go and do what they need to do, and so then at that point, they're basically out of the picture as far as the life insurance policy goes until the policy matures.
That's exactly right. Well, they're out even if it, when it matures. They've already got their lump sum. So those people are out. Whatever they've got, they can spend it on trying to get a cure. You know, they go to the hospital many, many times before it's ever resolved, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking at a policy this week, and, you know, the woman got cancer several years ago. It came back, which it always does. And they're telling her, this is what you need to do. You know, we need to do chemo, radiation, all this. She said, no, I'm going to Mexico.
Oh, boy.
And every time I hear that, you know, I kind of get sick because I know what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. You have seen this too many times. People will search for, you know, that one miracle cure, and they'll look for it, you know, whether it's, you know, in another country or some experimental treatment or some magic spring water or whatever it may be. People get desperate. They start looking for that miracle cure. And what that means as far as hardcore science goes is that you're basically delaying treatment that in most cases can at least help or at least prolong a person's life, which is making the disease progress even further.
It does. It progresses pretty fast when you're in Mexico, and they come back, and they always want to be saved then. But when they go to Mexico, they're kind of superior. They think that they can go to Mexico, get this treatment, and they're going to beat cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people beat cancer. Now, some of them do. There's different kinds of cancers, yes, are cured. But the ones we're buying, they're not curing pancreatic cancer. They're not curing colon cancer. Breast cancer is deadly. And some women's diseases are cancer are just deadly. And instead of listening to a doctor that has 20 years experience, they go on their own. And then some of them, it's causing them psychosis of other kinds, so they're so paranoid they don't want to try.
Mm.
You know.
So they need somebody to buy the policy so they can get a lump sum of money to get treatment and do what they need to do to try to get better. So once it becomes your policy and you buy it, then it becomes an investment opportunity for people like you and me to come in, buy into a portion of the policy, and then when it matures, they get their profit, they get their money back, plus, you know, a certain percentage on top of that.
That's exactly right. And, you know, our clients, this is a good investment for them. You know, it's solid. There's risk. We need to talk about that. But there's risk either any way you go. I mean, if you sit there and you stall, you talk about it on these policies, and you say, well, you know, I don't know whether to sell my policy or not. Well, good grief. If you need the cash, you need to get on it, you know, and do it. And then our people, we turn around and we say, okay, you know, here's this policy. And someone may say, oh, you know, I want a shorter one, or I want this, or I want that. You know, it all comes out in the wash, you know. You can have some short term, you can have some longer ones, but you need to be fully invested. It's the only way I see people make money every day. They are fully invested.
Which means that they're going to make money. You know, when you say that this is a solid investment, not having any outside factors affecting the value of the investment, not affecting what people are going to make, the profit margin, that's why this is such a solid investment, because all you're basically doing is investing and then waiting for the policy to mature. You're not getting up at midnight, checking on the computer, looking to see, oh my gosh, do I have anything left? All you're literally doing is you set it and forget it. And then you send out an email that says, boom, you got some money.
That's exactly the way it works. And, you know, when we talk about risk, it's worth the risk. In other words, the risk is not so great that you would not do this. The risk is, I think, fairly small. The risk is it could go over. Well, if you can't afford a premium to go over for a year or 2 years, don't do it. I always tell people that. In other words, if you can't afford $1,000, or if you cannot afford 12 months extra, it's not for you. Because you're going to have so many go over, so many come in early, and so many of them on time. And most of our people figure that. You know, they're smart people, and they'll sit down, they'll go, okay, I'm going to have four that's going to come in on time. I'm going to have three that'll be late, and then the other four will be early.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a matter of percentages on each one.
So when you say it goes over, that means that, that the policy may not come in. Well, let's just take a 24-month policy. It may not come in 24. It may be 26, 30. It may be something like that. And that means that the investor has to pay those premiums during
unless
the overage time.
Unless it's paid up. Now, we don't do it every time. We usually try to escrow 4 months extra.
Okay.
Okay. So it wouldn't cost them anything for at least 4 months. But then there's times that they had a policy that the premium was waived. They were so sick. There's some policies you can have a rider on there, and we find that every once in a while, that it says, no, there'll be no premium. We waived all that at one point for you.
Okay.
And so then we have paid up ones. But usually it's a term policy. It's not paid up. There is premiums going to be due. But if you can't go that extra year, this is not for you.
So let's just run a real quick example here, just some simple math. Say you've got a $100,000 investment. Say it's a 24-month policy, and say it goes over, and somebody has to pay the premiums. Say maybe a year's worth of premiums, about $1,000, would that be about average? Would that
yes.
be a fair guess?
We've got some that are $1,000. We've had some up to $2,000. And then most of them are $500 and less now. Because
okay.
we're really watching those premiums to make sure our premiums are low.
So since we know what we're going to make, we know the profit on this type of investment in this scenario would be $24,000. We know that, say, the premium, let's just go $2,000. Let's just say that just worst case scenario. In this case, a $2,000 premium, you would just take that out of your $24,000 profit, so you're still making $22,000 on the investment.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't hurt you any. It might have hurt your pride a little bit. It didn't come in on time.
Yeah.
But it's still a solid investment, still good for you. When people sit there, sometimes they'll just sit there with cash. Now, cash does not make money. Does anybody know that?
Mm-mm.
When you sit there with cash in your account, you're not making anything. So sometimes we're slow, and sometimes, you know, getting policies, it's hard work. We do it every day, but it is hard. And right now we're waiting for some policies to be completed. So, if we call you and we have a policy available, you should consider it.
Okay, because if it's on your desk and it's available for investment, you've already gone through it. And we'll get to some of the requirements here in just a second. But you mentioned the risks. It could go over. There's two more. Real quick, what are those?
The other risk is it is not liquid. If you're a person that's going to need liquidity, this is not it. Because you've got 2 years, it's not going to be liquid. Or maybe 18 months or 12 months. But there is a period that's not liquid and you cannot cash out until it matures. So we very, very rarely ever have anybody say, you know, I need some cash desperately. If they do, they made some kind of bad investment somewhere, or they didn't have what they thought they had going in.
And that's why you make sure that people are accredited to make sure that they've got enough money in other places in case an emergency comes up. Most people don't even have to worry about that.
Most of our clients would never even think about it. You know, they have plenty of money. They have the reserves they need. You must have reserves. I don't care who you are. If you don't have $25,000 to $50,000, in a bank account, you have no reserves unless you have another 401k. And lots of times people will have two or three 401ks from past employers, and that means you can always get cash right there. Mm-hmm. And they should always. And we try to check everybody, make sure they have reserves, they must have emergency money for health. We don't want anybody to say, oh, well, we never did do anything about the health. Most of our people have group insurance, so we don't worry about it.
Okay.
And then the people that are self-employed, they have it. They always have insurance. Our people are at that place where this works for them. This is the good investment for the type of clients we have.
Okay. So policy could go over, premiums could be due, not liquid, and the third risk is?
A life insurance company could go broke. We haven't had one happen in Texas, but one could. They could say, you know, we've went under. But every time all of the United States of an insurance company goes under, somebody is standing in the wings to buy it. Insurance companies are one of the most valuable assets we have in America because they are huge. They take in huge premiums, and they're just very wealthy. Did you see this week where J.P. Morgan and Berkshire and them are going to start their own life insurance company?
Yes, yeah, I saw that. Isn't Amazon in there somewhere as well?
Amazon's in there too. And the reason they are, they say, you know, all these premiums that have been so huge, we know they don't need to be that high. We're going to put all of our money together and we'll bring down the premium.
You think that'll work?
And I don't know. And I don't know what, you know, what they'll offer, but I'll bet with four huge conglomerates, it'll be a Cadillac plan.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they're going to offer health insurance. I don't know if they'll offer life or not. Probably will.
Well,
so that'll probably be a huge, huge conglomerate.
Yeah, that'll shake things up a little bit, I'm sure.
That will shake things up.
All right, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And, you know they're getting ready for Valentine's Day.
Oh, yes.
Gift to the wife, gift to the sweetheart.
Was that 11 days away? I'm trying to do the math.
On the 14th. Figure that out.
Oh, geez. It's right around the corner. Don't forget.
That's right. And that's one thing wives will not forgive.
Oh, yeah.
Valentine's Day is important.
Do not mess up Valentine's Day. So each Saturday
morning. Always have the roses. Always have dinner maps. I love that.
You should write a manual on how to what not to forget on Valentine's Day. Here's a simple checklist.
That's right. It's a good checklist. It's simple. Be on time. Have a fresh shave. Have on a nice suit. Hand her the roses. Take her to a nice dinner. No McDonald's. You know. Take them to Manny's. Take them to Manny's.
Yeah, yeah.
Take them to the country club. To a dance. You know, we have enough country clubs for everybody.
Well, that's true. That's true. Make it something nice and
special. We have more deep place.
Every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you always bring neat things, whether it's a thing to do or a place to visit or some place to put on our bucket list. What are we talking about today?
I want this on your bucket list, definitely.
Right.
Now, how about that? We're going to talk about something really special in Texas. And I know you haven't been here long, but I want you to visit this maybe this summer. The San Jacinto Monument. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's really a great part of our history here in Texas. The San Jacinto Monument is located on the San Jacinto Battlefield. This is down by Houston. This memorial was created after the Revolutionary War. And let me tell you about the first about the monument. It's 567 feet high. It is a column, and it's located on the Houston Ship Channel, which is in Harris County. It's near the city of Houston, but it's out in the country. And this monument is topped with a 220-ton star.
Whoa!
This commemorates the site of the Battle of San Jacinto. This was the decisive battle of the Texas Revolution, by the way.
Wow.
And it took from 1936 to 1939 to build it. It was actually dedicated on April 21st, 1939. And it is the world's tallest masonry column. How about this?
Wow.
It's part of a battleground out there. The Washington Monument is 554 feet, but it remains the tallest stone monument in the world. And this column is an octagonal shaft. As I said, it's topped with a 34-foot lone star. And you know, everything in Texas has that one star, as you know. It's the symbol of Texas. They have built the San Jacinto Museum inside the base of the monument.
Cool.
Focuses on the history of the Battle of San Jacinto, our culture, our heritage, and the way all this came about. A lot of people, of course, took this in Texas history. The early politics of Mexico toward Texas had been extremely liberal. I mean, things were going good. We were having land grants were made to them. There was no taxes, no duties. And then the relationship between Texas and the Mexicans was cordial at one time. But then there was a series of revolutions. It began in 829, and the unscrupulous rulers seized power in Mexico, and that started the whole thing. And in 1832, the colonists forced the Mexican authorities to release William B. Travis. And, you know, he's a star of Texas. He was imprisoned for 1 year down there. And then we had the Battle of Valesco. We had the Battle of Nacogdoches. And in both of them, Texas was victorious. And Stephen F. Austin, who's the father of Texas, was arrested January 3rd, 1834. They held him for a year, almost a year, July 1835. And the Texans formed an army, and they established a provisional government. So the first shot of the Revolution was fired by the Texans at Gonzales. Now, a lot of people don't... I hope they all remember what happened in Gonzales. In resistance to a demand by the Mexicans, they said, "We've got this cannon, and we want it back." The cry of Texas and Goliad was, "Come and get it." They said, "If you think you can get this from us, come."
Cool.
Well, they didn't. And so then you had the Battle of Concepcion. We won that one. In October 28th, San Antonio was captured. And after 5 days of fighting, Ben Milam died a hero. And the Mexican army evacuated Texas. They got out. So then we declared independence at Washington on the Brazos. For 2 months, our armies met disaster and defeat. And then Dr. James Grant's men, they were killed. And then William Barrett Travis and his men sacrificed at the Alamo. And when all this was over, of course, you know, the Texas was mad. We wanted our independence. We got it. And on April 1836, the Army of Texas, commanded by General Sam Houston and accompanied by the Secretary of War, attacked the larger invading Army of Mexico. That was under General Santa Anna. And the battle line formed to left and right. It was formed by Sidney Sherman's regiment. And with the battle cry, they started, "Remember the Alamo, remember Goliad." And they were taken by surprise, and they tried to rally, then they fled in disaster. So the victory was complete, and Texas was free. And then we had soldiers, immigrant soldiers, and I didn't know this, from every state almost, even Canada, England, France, and Germany, and Ireland. were in our battle. Did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
San Jacinto was the one decisive battle of the world. The freedom of Texas from Mexico was led to annexation and to the Mexican-American War, resulting in the acquisition now by the United States of Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, California, Utah, and parts of Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, and Oklahoma. One-third of the present area of the American nation, 1 million square feet, changed forever.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Cool.
It's the coolest thing in the world. That this, you know, that's one thing about Texas. It's always bigger. It's always going to be better. And to have this San Jacinto monument is the nicest thing in the world to me.
Yeah, and you mentioned that was when they started the Remember the Alamo, battle cry.
That was the cry.
Man.
That was the cry. Remember the Alamo. And then remember Goliad. Remember Gonzales. And, of course, Goliad is where those Mexicans came and wanted their cannon.
Yeah.
And they had the cannon mounted on the square.
And they basically said, I dare you to come get it.
They said, we dare you to try this deal. And, of course, they did not get the cannon. The cannon remains in Goliad on the square to this day.
How cool is that, you know?
It is cool. And this monument, almost 600 feet tall, has the Lone Star on it. And that's what we've always had. Our flags have always had that one star.
Yeah. How cool.
I mean, it's the coolest thing. And people forget to go and see it. It's the biggest part of our history. Everybody should go and see the San Jacinto Monument in their lifetime, maybe twice.
And, you know, one of the things I love about Texas is that the history is so deep. It's not like anything just kind of fell into place or, you know, somebody will give us this or that or, you know, it was fought for. It was fought hard. The lines were drawn and people stuck to their conviction. And that's really, you know, that's what you see throughout all of these stories, especially, you know, these early stories about how we gained independence from Mexico and all these things. And it's just a fascinating story of all the effort and all the fighting that went into it and how they, you know, stayed true to their cause.
And it shows you how deep it runs in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, how everybody in Texas, their history is so, so important to them.
Yeah.
About all the battles, about getting independence from Mexico, the things we've done. It was fought hard. And so we do have a lot of monuments. We still have the little Alamo. We have so many things in Texas that we're really, really proud of.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
And this is one of them. And the company that built this, what a special deal to get to build this monument for the state. And it's a nonprofit. It's on the National Registry. You know, it's just a wonderful thing that they raised the money and built it.
Yeah.
And Texans can raise the money for anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You tell them there's a need, they're on it immediately.
Yep, and that's another thing you don't see just any other place. I mean, people come to, you know, they'll come together and, you know, whatever, but it's like in Texas when something like this happens, it's people's heart and soul that are invested, not just, here's a couple bucks or whatever.
That's right, and they can all trace their heritage back 100 years, 200 years.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, all the relatives of Sam Houston, Travis, all these guys, Ben Milam, you know, all these, they can trace their roots back so far that it's just amazing.
Yeah. There are hard lines of history in Texas.
That's right. And, man, you don't mess with Texas.
Exactly. I dare you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a person would be stupid to do that ever. Oh, my gosh.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, we should point out that that is your office number, and this being Saturday, there's nobody there, so you don't call it now, but write it down, and then call next week and get ready, because you've got to make that appointment. Don't just pop in, because Faye's very, very busy helping a lot of people invest and grow their money so they can retire as well. And you want to give people, you know, all the attention that they need. So go ahead and make the appointment. Go in, sit down. And really, that's what it's all about. It's prepare to prepare. So it's time for those who haven't really gotten ready for retirement, whatever the reason may be, it's never too late, is it?
And don't procrastinate. Quit the procrastinate. You know, men come in and say, I've been intending to come see you for months.
Yeah.
And I go, my gosh, let's get started. Let's see if we can do this.
Yeah.
You know, and remember, the investment, we didn't cover that this morning. That's $100,000 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that way people don't get confused.
So people know exactly what the requirements are to be fully accredited, to be in this particular program. Now, what if somebody still needs to retire? They still need to plan. They still need to, you know, grow their money, but they don't quite make it for these particular guidelines. What other options are there?
Well, they can do annuities. Annuities are a good thing. There's not anything wrong with them. Annuities pay by the month or by the year. I hear these people on the radio all the time or television, don't buy annuity till you talk to us. I mean, you know, it's crazy. Annuities are solid. I would not do a variable annuity because you're back in the stock market. But a regular annuity, say with Midland National Life, that's who we like. They do what they say. Their contracts are honest. At the end of the term, you get your money. If you want it payable the rest of your life, you can get it that way. So I just think an annuity is a safe investment, especially for older people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do a 5-year annuity, do a little 7-year annuity, and you can still keep the annuity after the 5. You can keep it after the 7. If you're younger, do a 10. But if you need that income and you can't qualify for our other program, do an annuity. And you need like $50,000 to do an annuity, by the way.
Okay, all right. That was my next question. What are
yeah. A $10,000 annuity isn't going to help you. I wouldn't even touch it.
Okay. So
you've got to have enough to go in to do some good.
So there's plenty of opportunity, but you do have to get started. So after people go ahead and retire, I mean, it's one thing, you want to go ahead and get yourself on the right trajectory to make sure that you have enough to get to retirement day. So if you're 10 years out, 15 years out, 5 years out, whatever, you know, you may be a little bit more aggressive with investments if there's a shorter amount of time, but you've got to do it, and you're going to help with that planning process, right?
That's right.
So for somebody,
you know, it's never too late to start unless you just, you know, can't get up off your bed.
That's not a very good excuse, but okay.
Okay. Well, it's the only one I can think of that would keep you from my office.
So after somebody retires, we kind of touched on this a little bit. You still want that money coming in. And yeah, you can be investing in the stock market. There's other options as well. But after you retire, it's really, really scary because that's when things get real serious real quick. Because if you're in a situation that's a little bit risky and all of a sudden you lose everything, your retirement may not be as fun as it should be. You don't want to be up all night worrying about things. You don't want to be traveling, you know, over to, you know, England and then find out that the stock market crashed or you know, the bottom fell out. I mean, earlier this week, we had one of the worst days for stocks in 2018. And now I know that it's only February 3rd, but still, it can happen, and it can happen without warning. And you don't want to be, you know, someplace traveling and then find out that something terrible has happened and you've lost everything or a good chunk of your retirement, and then you have to start over. That's not how people should spend retirement. You want to go ahead and travel. You want to go fishing. You want to travel with the kids. What are other people doing for retirement?
Well, I can tell you this. It would not, your wife would not like you very much if you threw up. Let's just put it that way. I mean, wives expect husbands to lead.
Yeah.
And if you're a husband, you've got to lead, and you've got to help and do your part.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, don't mess around with it. Don't mess around with your livelihood.
No.
Don't mess around with your retirement. Mm-hmm. Let's take this serious and, get something done if you haven't. And a lot of our people are putting more money in right now. It's the first of the year. They've got more money. They've got their bonuses, and they're putting in a lot more. And we want to help people. That's what we're here for, is to invest their money wisely and do it through the banks. Remember, we haven't even talked about that. We never touch your money. We're not going to touch your money. We want the banks to be responsible. They're good at handling money, and they're our back offices. People don't realize that. Our back offices is the banks. They do all this back-end stuff for us.
So you never actually touch any. Nobody writes a check to Faye Bagby.
Never. We would never accept a check from anybody.
And this is good because it helps. Obviously, it's written in stone. It has to be that way. But it also helps with the safety level of somebody's money. Because when we're dealing with this much money and somebody's future, you don't want to leave it to just anybody who can just do whatever they want to with it. And then you be surprised one day and all of a sudden have nothing.
That's right. We're not going to do that. We know about those deals. And, we've all these years tried to keep people's money safe. We've learned a lot of lessons, but we know it needs to be at the bank. We know we want the bank to pay when the policy matures. We want a bank maturity payoff. And the bank does that for us. They get the certified death certificate, and they get the money, and they put it in your account. Just like I said, we have two policies going in people's accounts this week.
Wow. So how fast is the turnaround from the time a policy matures? How fast is the turnaround for somebody to actually get paid?
6 to 8 weeks.
So the money just shows up within 2 months tops?
Yep. And sometimes it's 30 days.
Wow.
But we always have to allow because they have to get the birth certificate. They have to get the death certificate first. Mm-hmm. They have to get a certified one. Then they have to send it in. And that just takes some time. Because these are large insurance companies, but they pay well, and once they get it, we usually get a check in 10 days.
How long has people, has somebody, because I know you have a lot of people who have been investing for a long time, and I know you have a lot of new investors that are new to the program, who are coming in for the first time, never done an alternate investment like this before. So
right.
For those people who are new and are just looking in from the outside, they're thinking about it, when you look at all of your long-time investors, how long have many of them been with you on average? And I know you don't have the paperwork, and I'm just kind of throwing this out at you, but
we've got people been with us, I think, 5 years.
So that's pretty significant. That's a lot of investments. It's a lot of return investments, which is really the most important thing here.
Yes, it is.
All right. So for somebody who's coming in and they're a little bit nervous, they don't have to get into multiple policies right away. Would you recommend maybe just start at one, see how it works, or get into multiple policies right off the bat?
I would do multiple. That's just the way I go about things. I say, okay, you've got $200,000. Let's do three policies or two policies, whatever, and get you started. They may come in with 100. They come in with 100. It's not going to be enough to, it might could put in two policies, but we just have to see.
Okay. It can vary. There's a lot of different options and things that you can work with.
That's right.
All right. So people can come in, they'll find out the scenarios, you'll sit down, you'll talk to them. I mean, the process is pretty straightforward, but I can understand why people, who have been in the stock market their entire life or in other types of investments, they may look at, investing in a life insurance policy, and they may scratch their head a little bit. I can see that, but it's important to note that most of your investors are return investors, and they keep coming back, and that's really a key factor here.
Well, once you've got your money with us, you're not going to take it out just because you got paid.
Yeah.
You're going to roll it over. Remember, these are IRAs mostly. So if you have an IRA, you want to just keep rolling it over. You're not going to want to stop because you'd have to pay. There's no taxes due. It's all tax deferred. So there's no reason not to keep investing, okay?
And as long as we're still rolling over, you don't owe taxes until you stop.
That's right.
So avoid the taxes, keep the profits coming in.
Yeah, at 70 and a half, you're going to have to start taking out.
Yeah.
But right now, you're not. Most of our people are under that. Now, we've got a lot of people that are taking out this year, and they have got to take that minimum distribution.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. So for somebody who wants to come in this week, I assume that there's investment opportunities, there's policies coming in, there's availability. These things are always going on, right?
That's right.
And so you're...
It goes on every week, the same thing. We're buying policies every week. We're putting people in policies every week. And then we've got maturities that are cash going into their accounts, okay?
All right. So, and I know, you know, the landscape is a little bit crowded right now because, you know, there's a lot of people that want in. But for somebody who is brand new, there's still opportunity. So if there's you know, maybe, and I'm guessing here, correct me if I'm wrong. If there's no opportunity to invest, you know, today or maybe next week, there will be within a few weeks, I assume. Is that
That's right. Out? Yes. Uh-huh. We're okay. Getting people in policies. We should have some people in policies. I'll say this 2 weeks because we put people in policies this week, and those are full, and we'll be doing it'll probably be another 2 weeks before we have a lot more ready to go.
Brilliant. Just to write the right amount of time to come in, get some information, find out if the program is right for you, get qualified, get accredited, find the information. So what should somebody do right now if they're thinking about coming to see you next week? What should they do today?
They should put their papers together. See what they've got, what they want to invest. They need to talk to their wife. They need to come in. If they want to bring her the first time, fine. If they want to just come in and talk to me, it's okay. And then they can, the two of them can come back, okay?
Got it. All right, Faye, so one last time, what's the phone number to make an appointment?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.